the lowest degree of human interference is going to provide you with the highest degree of nutrients.
So if you've ever looked at the ingredients list on the back of your little one's formula, you've probably noticed that it contains palm oil. And if you, like me, were concerned, well, you probably have good reason for it. After all, palm oil is widely discussed in newspapers and magazines and social media for all the wrong reasons. So you may have wondered, what is palm oil? And is it safe for your growing baby? And why, more importantly, is it even used in so many formulas? Well, welcome back to This Little Life, an impromptu and lively discussion diving into the big and little issues of parenting. Hello, I'm Elke Pascoe, founder and CEO of Little Oak. And today's topic of palm oil in infant formulas is one I'm incredibly passionate about. So I'm both inspired and motivated to unpick the use of palm oil in formulas and try and understand why it is so widely used across the globe. And to help me navigate this otherwise hotly contested debate, I'm delighted to introduce mother, nutritionist, yogi, and founder of The Natural Nutritionist, Steph Lowe, to today's show. Steph, hello. It's so great to have you here today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Steph, you're the mom of two gorgeous girls, I hear, Grace and Rose. So I'm really keen to know that, you know, if once you had those two beautiful girls, if your view on the world and food changed.
I think my position is a little bit different, having been a nutritionist since 2009. And my little one, my first child was born in 2019. So I had
a bit of background.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Unlike some mums that obviously come to you at Little Oak and come to me at The Natural Nutritionist, whose eyes are opened for the first time when they've had their first child, I come from not only over a decade in a career as a nutritionist, but I have like a much longer history in terms of my passion around health and wellness and things like that. So yeah, I guess a different kind of journey, but you start to look at different foods, don't you? Different ingredients and absolutely, and your family's food and even, you know, your behaviors around food change when you have little kids. So it does look very different to before I became a mother, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if anything like me, I don't think I looked at it. Well, I mean, I don't have a nutritionist background, but I had a basic understanding of what was good and what wasn't good. But really, once I had my two, predominantly with Freddie, it was like I was checking everything on the label and really assessing it. And then every now and again, I was just like, okay, just have a packet of chips, just be quiet, please. And it's just take it and be quiet. But anyway, not here to talk about my bad parenting decisions today, Steph. So what we are here to talk about, obviously, is well, oils in general in infant formula. But, you know, as I said at the beginning, you know, the topic of palm oil in formula. And I suppose it's probably important just to set the scene a little bit around, you know, why it's used. I mean, infant formula, obviously, as a whole is used to mimic the nutritional content of breast milk in many ways and replace it where necessary. And many of the ingredients used obviously rely on, you know, providing the similar composition of the carbohydrates and fats and proteins and vitamin minerals that as babies they need to grow big and strong. And I suppose one of those big things is fat, obviously, and we have to, that's found in breast milk, and we have to try and find a source of that in formula to provide that fat content and the fatty acids and those calories that babies need. So I suppose it's probably a good starting point is to get from you, you know, why do babies and children need fat and what is it it's helping those fatty acids? What is it helping with in terms of their development?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an essential macronutrient. So just to define that, our macronutrients are either our carbohydrates, our proteins, or our fats. And as a general rule, yeah, we're looking for a very balanced macronutrient intake. And fats are quite diverse. They are very controversial, as this conversation will kind of uncover to a degree, because there are fats and then there are fats, right? And yeah. So when we're talking about sort of the general role of fats as a macronutrient, it's quite well accepted that the brain is made of predominantly fat. So, of course, from a brain development and from a, you know, cognition and memory forming development, then fats play a really healthy role. But, you know, we have to get really mindful when we want to define what types of fats, because there's a lot of confusion around this space. So when I look at, you know, what the best type of fat would be, well, we do want to make sure that our diet is predominantly full of omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, beautiful anti-inflammatory fats that play all those roles for growth and development, anti-inflammatory being like the answer really for great health, because we know that inflammation moves us in the opposite direction. So towards disease over a long-term point of view. So omega-3s are found in, you know, olives and olive oil and nut seeds and avocados and, of course, oily fish. And we need a lot of these, children and adults alike. But when we talk about things like palm oil, and there are other examples like canola oil, like we have to sort of question why we're consuming these ingredients and what nutrients we are or are not consuming, especially in an infant sense, right? We're trying to optimize nutrient density for growth for a very important time in their life. And some of the fats that are used for questionable reasons, including like cost at the end of the day, we have to really like, you know, ask ourselves, what are they providing us in terms of nutrients? And that's my big concern with what we see in lots of ingredients on the shelf these days, including infant formulas.
Mm. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because it is a question I was going to ask you later on. You know, we, you know, we're proud. I mean, I say this regularly, you know, we're proud not only to be one of the first in the world to be palm oil free, but we are the first infant formula in the world to be certified palm oil free, which means we don't have any oils or any derivatives. Mm. Getting that certification process way back when we started Little Oak was a little bit like birthing a third child. I had no idea at that point how deep I call it the web, the palm oil web went around everything that was in, you know, the foods we eat, our household products, you know, because I just thought getting certification was great. We'd taken it out of our oil blend, perfect, job done. But no, I mean, the certification process was such an eye-opening experience to see how far down the food chain, or that's, you know, the production chain, they use palm oil as a derivative. And I was just blown away. I don't think I ever quite imagined, you know, as I said, how, you know, how it was wrapped around everything and down largely to cost, right? I mean, you know, a lot of manufacturers are making decisions and, you know, that impact our health on a bottom line, which,
always,
you know,
so I mean, tragic, really.
So tragic. But you did mention, you know, you did make a good point there around, obviously, we do need fats. Infant formula uses different oils to mimic that fat profile in human breast milk. And obviously, you know, we, as manufacturers, we have the, you know, option of using, you know, palm oil or sunflower or safflower, you know, safflower or canola, which are the most commonly used vegetable oils in baby formula. And, you know, and like Little Oak, we tend to use less common but higher quality oils like coconut and flaxseed oils. What is it about palm oil that you know, other than the cost, what is it in the palm oil that that manufacturers, you know, use it? What is it, the components of it that are actually contributing some value to children?
Well, we do need saturated fat. So this is we could talk about this in a podcast episode by itself, right? Because saturated fats have been demonized for largely the last 5 decades. Like many people that I meet in a consultation environment as a nutritionist have been told to, you know, not eat the egg yolks, to trim all the fat off the meat and to never use butter. And, you know, way back when the low-fat era first started, we saw things like margarine and these real fake foods come to be so popular because we were demonizing saturated fat. But our brain is about 25% saturated fat, is also used in creating the cell membrane of every single cell in the body. Our hormones, including vitamin D, are made of saturated fat. Without saturated fat, we would have a whole host of problems, including cognitive problems, which we're seeing now in our older generations, many people who have followed a low-fat diet for 50 years of their life.
Oh, my gosh.
In my female clients, I'm seeing a lot of hormonal dysregulation, and I don't think it's a coincidence that many of them have, you know, matured hormonally on a low-fat diet or a calorie-counting diet, which is by default low-fat. You know, saturated fat is really important, but the issue, you know, the environmental issue with palm oil is huge, as you know, but you know, there are much better sources of saturated fat. You know, I'm talking about things like coconut oil here. Mm. It's so nutrient dense, as I'm sure you've discussed many times. It's pretty magic in terms of being like an antimicrobial, an antifungal. And, you know, it is a really beautiful saturated fat that is still cops it every now and then in the media, depending on what cycle of sort of myths we're up to. But ultimately, we're looking for nutrient density. And that's like, you know, what we don't see in something like palm oil from a nutritionist standpoint.
Mm. Well, I know, and I mean, it's even, you know, building on that, I suppose, I mean, we talk to palm oil in the sense that, you know, it's been clinically proven that palm oil can inhibit the absorption of calcium, fat and DHA in babies, you know, three of the critical elements that babies need to, you know, to grow big and strong and have that healthy development. You know, the palm oil is creating those calcium plaques in the system. So they're, you know, affecting the way, you know, all the vitamin, you know, many vitamins and minerals are absorbed. I mean, on that alone, I personally am, if I could encourage every infant formula company in the world to remove palm oil, whether they, you know, put that it's organic or it's sustainably sourced, I'm like, it makes really no difference to me. It shouldn't be in formula full stop. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you make a really good point. I think we've got to look further into it. You know, we've got to ask ourselves why these ingredients are used and then what some potential consequences are. From an absorption point of view, yeah, there are huge issues. Like, I think, you know, if we were talking about omega-3s earlier, well, they're broken down into the EPA, DHA, and you mentioned DHA. Like, we use that very much so for growth and development in pregnancy, in breastfeeding, of course, in infant formulas from that mimicking standpoint. There are huge consequences if we are blocking the absorption.
Mm.
We all know about calcium for bones, right? So then you have to question what the long-term consequences of that could be. So yeah, I completely agree with you. I think there's lots of issues, obviously environmental, and then for the child, for the developing baby, I don't think a lot of mothers know about this. So I'm glad that you're so passionate about this topic.
You can't stop me. Usually at a dinner party, I get started and everybody's like, okay, let's go and play Boggle or something instead. That's enough now, Elke. But, you know, I think that, I mean, I was interested to know, I mean, if we can't, you know, the impact of this in a younger, when they're in their most vulnerable state, I mean, we're kind of hard pressed to find what the long-term implications of that are. But just from your experience and your, you know, being an expert in the nutrition space, I mean, obviously possibly not laying enough to calcium down, all those sort of things. What's your take on what potentially are the long-term impacts of a palm oil effect on a young baby?
Yeah, I think the first thing we'd have to consider would be bone density, which of course is, you know, more complicated than just the calcium, of course. And I think that's, but it's certainly the most common nutrient that we would look at in someone's, you know, dietary intake to ensure adequacy for bone development. But if someone, you know, during a period of growth, you'd have to argue if that would interfere with growth as well. So sort of more short to medium impacts, and then absolutely long-term impacts from a bone density point of view, which would lead to something like osteopenia or osteoporosis, which has huge consequences because it can actually be fatal for the elderly, of course, from a hip replacement standpoint, you know, if we were to get to that point. Calcium is also essential for the heart. It's a really critical electrolyte that we don't really think about a lot. You know, most people know about like magnesium as an electrolyte, but calcium in particular regulates the heart rhythm. So then you would have to ask yourself how that might play into things over the long term as well. So from a heart health perspective, that I'd be really interested to see some data on that if we ever could.
Yeah. I think there's a huge body of evidence or work that needs to be done around this, because, you know, there's a lot around, you know, the demonstrative effects of palm oil, even on the stool and the composition of stools. They make stools and babies significantly harder and giving them constipation and things like that. So, you know, then companies then make these gentle on tummies, so they reduce the amount of palm oil in them. But anyway, I think there's a lot of work that that the industry needs to do to pick up their game. On a slightly different topic to palm oil, very quickly, what are your thoughts on soy oil and soy products in infant formula?
Look, I think there are different considerations with soy. Like, so just to zoom out a little bit, like, I'm not anti-soy.
Mm.
I think we need to keep, you know, everything in context to who we're talking about, in this case, their gender. And of course, it's more unique when you're talking about a child who's only consuming formula when they are mm-hmm. quite young, to what their diet might look like as we start to move past 6 months. And, you know, obviously children would be consuming formula for different ages, I imagine. But the quality is a big issue, right? Because we know the soy is added because it's cheap. It's obviously not going to be offering us much from a nutrient density point of view, especially because they're using chemical solvents, which essentially destroy everything anyway because of the way the oil is extracted from the soy plant. So you're not providing anything from a nutrient standpoint. And certainly when there's not that beautiful balance when we see food in its natural state any longer, when something has been so heavily treated, the soy oil can be very estrogen promoting. Mm. So Weston A. Price speaks about this a lot in terms of like his kind of anti-soy protocol, especially in young boys. Like, you know, boys don't have a lot of estrogen. It's the female hormone, right? So there's an issue with, you know, a baby who's only fed soy, right? It's not in balance in context with anything else. And of course, from a hormonal standpoint, it can cause a lot of issues. Like, so we can see changes in body composition. We can see changes in behavior. We can even see underdeveloped genitals from an estrogen offsetting testosterone, the male dominant hormone, of course.
Yeah.
Then there are like the toxic metal sort of consideration that we would need to look at depending on the product that the individual has been fed, of course, but to sort of stay with the soy, it can be really problematic. It can interfere with the gut membrane, so it can cause like inflammation and that sort of quote unquote leaky gut situation that most people are familiar with these days. But to expand on that, the tight junctions that keep the gut nice and tight, so undigested food particles don't pass out, so things from the external environment don't pass in, that becomes leaky. The tight junctions separate and it creates this cascade of inflammation, which leads to a whole host of issues. You know, Hippocrates said over 2,000 years ago, all disease starts in the gut, and I do have to agree. So we really, I mean, the last thing we want to be giving an infant is anything that's going to interfere with their gut. We see so many long stream issues with that. And there's a concept that I work with in my practice called the disappearing microbiota hypothesis. And it's a big driver of most of the health and certainly autoimmune conditions that we're seeing just exponentially increase in our current times.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, I think, as we kind of, you know, we've accepted that a lot of these ingredients are kind of just, you know, the norm, and yet no one's really challenged a lot of these things for decades and decades, particularly, you know, we find in the infant formula.
Well, they're all the same other than yours. Like, I've looked at them all and they're all very, very similar. Like, so obviously it started somewhere and there's been this kind of like, I don't know, has it been a copycat approach to keep the message happening from a kind of conditioning point of view? And then it's a cost situation that continues, you know, a new kid comes on the block, but at the end of the day, it's the bottom line that seems to win, unfortunately.
And well, I think that's absolutely true. And, you know, we are, I mean, I know this, you know, intimately, because we have our infant formula in some cases is, you know, 10 times more expensive to make than, you know, the standard formulas on the shelf, in fact, more in some cases. Mm. And we make no bones about it. I mean, you know, our oils alone, I mean, we're talking about oils, you know, we use predominantly coconut and we use flaxseed oil, first in the world to use cold pressed flaxseed oil. Ours are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for, you know, for a liter of oil. And it's like anything in this world, you pay, you get what you pay for. And when in our mind, when it comes to babies, there's, you don't cut corners. It's just a no-go. One of the things I was just touching on, the flaxseed oil, obviously, you know, we talk about oils. I'm interested for you to share your knowledge on oils, because an oil is an oil, but the way that oil is made and sourced is quite different. You've obviously got oil extracted through hexane and solvents you talked about. And you have pressed and then you have cold pressed. Mm. Can you perhaps give our listeners some helper understanding around what the difference is?
Yeah, like I think firstly, if we think about usually when you hear the words chemical solvent, you're not really thinking about food, are you? So most people, when they start to unpack this area of the oil industry, are quite frightened that we're actually using quite significant toxins to remove an oil from a seed or a grain, depending on what we're talking about. Like that's crazy to a lot of people. They, with the whole sort of greenwashing and what needs to be disclosed on a packet or a nutritional informational panel, like they don't know about it because it just says sunflower oil or just says flaxseed oil, right? But when you look further into it, it's quite frightening, the health implications of a chemical, which can obviously be quite toxic to use.
Mm.
And there's heat, which then destroys the nutrients. So you're left with an oil, that's going to like make the nutritional informational panel look like it's got fats in it, just because it needs to balance out, in this case, back to a breast milk macronutrient ratio, but we've just lost all the nutrients and we've added some toxins into the process. Like, to me, that is just mind blowing that we're going to be feeding anyone this.
I'm with
you. Of course. Yeah. And the heat is a big one, right? So cold, hear the word cold, right? So that's really important. It's a strictly no heat process, which is so important because flaxseed oil, we know, is that beautiful balance of 3, 6, and 9. And the threes, they're all very unstable oils, really. Like, that's why we don't cook with flaxseed oil, and especially it's been notoriously used for cold use, like salad dressings, at least I hope. And there's a big reason for that. The heat denatures the oils. So not only do they lose their structure, which is then the benefits in terms of like the anti-inflammation and the antioxidants, but they actually create the opposite problem. They contribute to inflammation. And the biggest issue that we have in the West is inflammation, as I said before. And a lot of that comes down to not enough omega-3s, really, quite simply. So not that I have a problem with 6 and 9s. We need a lot of those, don't get me wrong. But when we're using a lot of canola oil or a lot of palm oil, a lot of, these really refined oils, our balance between our like anti-inflammatory oils is so far out of balance, we see a lot of health problems derived from inflammation. So cold pressed is essential to retain the nutrients, but it's essential to avoid like that inflammatory cascade that happens with an excess, which is really the Western diet, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I think as you said, the chemicals that they use, this is one of the turning points for me when I started at Alloke, was two things, actually. There was two catalysts, really. One was, when I found out, really took a good read of what was in the infant formula I was feeding my son. I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know. Do you know, like, I breastfed as long and hard as I could and then had to put him on formula. But, I just had sleep deprived, no idea. And then, when we were looking at this journey, looked at the ingredients, I was like, dear God, what is this crap? But it was on a shelf and a doctor had recommended it and you just assumed that it was all going to be okay, right? So take a good look at that. So that was one. Then when I found out about the oils and how the oils that were used and how they were processed, I was like, oh my goodness. And then of course it was the taurine as well. When someone said to me, the taurine that they use in most of the infant formula is the same stuff they use in Red Bull, I was like, right, okay. Even if I've said this before, even if I make no money out of infant formula, I have to go and try and do something better, because
that's amazing.
We shouldn't be giving this to our children. We wouldn't even, if we knew what we were feeding, we wouldn't give it to ourselves. So why should we be giving it to them? But the flaxseed one is a fascinating one. And that's, why we use it. Aside from all the beautiful threes and the 6 and 9s, it's also been proven to have some benefits on hyperactivity in the brain. So it calms babies and helps them sleep and, keeps them, more kind of settled and what have you. And I always joke that had I known that with my two, I would have literally bathed them in it.
maybe my little 15-month-old needs some flaxseed oil. You've got me thinking.
Yeah, right. I'm like, whatever you can give it to them. Because
absolutely.
It's I love really, it. Yeah, yeah, really good for them. And in terms of you know, your recommendation to parents around, you know, if they choose to breastfeed or have to, choose to use infant formula or have to, what is your recommendation to those mums and dads around what to look for in a formula?
I just send them to Little Oak. Don't you know that already?
No, thank you. I didn't know that, but I'm very grateful that you do. Thank
goodness.
You.
No, like, so Grace is 3.5. So it would have been, let's say, you know, 4.5, 5 years ago that I started looking into this. And I've still got, I literally like cut and paste every ingredient into a document because I was like, what is this? Like, you know, what, I mean, I despise canola oil as well. So it's just as another example that I see so often. And I'm not sure, were you around in 2019 in Australia? It was sort of just all happening, like as I moved out of maybe my first child, from memory. Am I right?
Yeah. 2019, we would have been around. But the interesting thing is, when we first started, we actually had canola in our formula.
I know.
And it was interesting because we didn't know any different. Like, we just assumed we had the best that we could possibly get, that, you know, that met the regs, that, you know, that did all this, that, you know, was what, you know, what was approved. And it wasn't until I met Jackie at Richie's, actually. She's the health and wellness buyer at Richie's supermarkets. And she rang me one day out of the blue and said, you've got the best formula that I've seen in my life, but I just don't like one thing. And I said, oh, what is it? Tell me. And she said, I don't like the canola oil. And I said, you know, it's funny you say that because it's always my bugbear. Every time I look at the ingredients, I was like, oh, I hate that. I said, what do you suggest? Is there anything else that you'd suggest? And she said to me, have you ever considered flaxseed oil? Mm. And I was like, oh, my God, no, I have no idea. But let me check on it. And if we can, if it meets the regs and we can get a natural source for it, and you know, we can, you know, we can blend it in and stuff, then I'm all for it. Anyway, we managed to do it. We went to our oil supplier and they said, oh my God, we've been waiting for somebody to use flaxseed oil. We've been banging on about the benefits of it for decades and no one's been willing to do it, A, because of cost. We subsequently found out that it also is quite, it's highly combustible, obviously. So if it goes through lines, it can blow up a factory. But I was like, oh, benefits of being a baby.
You know, you've just triggered my memory around that, around the canola oil, because maybe that was why, like, I distinctly remember an Instagram post that was very controversial about canola oil that the mothers didn't really want to hear, unfortunately, like, because it was in a lot of the formulas that people were using. And I'm like, I tend to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm always like, don't shoot the messenger. Like, would you rather not know, right? This is maybe quite overwhelming to learn for the first time, but you need to reframe it to be so empowering to know that, at least now with you and with Little Oak, that there finally is another option, right?
Yeah. Well, I was just telling somebody today, we when we found this out, we literally took all that product that had the canola in it and dumped it. Wow. Just like, went, don't use it. Make this new. Like, I was just like, now that I know there's something better, we're doing it, and I don't care. I mean, my shareholders and my investors are probably like, what is she doing? She's mad as a snake. But anyway, wow. I was like, I actually couldn't go to bed knowing that there was something better there. And if we didn't do it, then, you know, it was sort of on my conscience that we were just, you know, we could do better. Let's do it. So, but thank you. Appreciate the endorsement. But and in any time there's any other improvements we can make, we're really proud of the From Fresh that we did recently, because your piece around heat is so incredibly important to us, you know, trying to reduce all of our heat out of our production so that we can really maximize that natural goodness.
It's amazing.
Like the cold press juice of infant formula, we like to say. But
yeah, absolutely. I mean, people know about cold press juice, right? So this is like something that they can start to understand a bit more, as to maybe it's a bit popular and we might not have considered exactly why, but it makes a lot of sense when you realize, especially more so with the fats, right? More so with infant formula. I mean, juice, yes, great from a nutrient perspective, but there's no fats in there that you're also damaging.
I mean, it's so critical. But, you know, as I said, it's just been, this has never been a category or a space that has ever been challenged, really. I mean, there's lots of Me Too brands, but not a lot of people really sort of trying to create something so much better. Do you know?
And you must be so frustrated by the greenwashing, like you mentioned it before, with the gentle on the tummy kind of statements that brands make. But the greenwashing, like some of the campaigns that you see on the big billboards out at the airport or driving along wherever freeway you're on. Like, it's frightening that they can get away with that. And people who don't have the time or the background or the education don't know any better. Like, that drives me crazy about just the lack of kind of transparency around marketing.
Completely. And, you know, we're big advocates for, we would rarely call for more regulation, but in this instance we do, you know, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever done it, but if you go and pick up, it's certainly, it's getting better, so that's good. But, you know, you pick up most of the cans, and, you know, I was in the States a couple of months back, you pick up the cans, the number one ingredient is, you know, corn glucose syrup and then maltodextrin and then palm oil. I mean, I'm like, what in God's name is, how is that even legal, let alone
it's true. Yeah. And then you read the front, and there's all these claims about how healthy it is. So, like, I teach my clients, like, to not read the front, like, read the back, like, go to the ingredients list. It's listed in chronological order or order of abundance. You know, the first ingredient is the primary ingredient. So if it is high fructose corn syrup or canola oil, I would even question, like, some even refined, you know, carbohydrates. That's not real food. That's not going to be nutrient dense and good for you or your family.
Mm. Yeah. And what about your two girls? Did you have them on formula, or did you breastfeed the whole way through?
I did breastfeed the whole way through. I have quite a unique environment with working either from home, or when Grace was born, my husband brought her in for all her feeds when I was back at work, and now I work from home. So, yeah, everyone's life is obviously quite different. Yeah, but I fed them both for like 12 to 14 months. So.
Oh, well done. Yeah. I think I got to 11 with Olive. I mean, I was mixed feeding by that stage, but I was trying. And then with Freddie, it didn't get quite as long, but gave it my best shot.
But, you know, probably led you to here, though. So we're grateful for you, right? Imagine if you never had looked at a formula.
Well, I know.
You wouldn't have a little oak. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at, I had a discussion the other day, I feel for those women that, you know, don't have the choice. Like my twin sister, I mean, she was, you know, she nearly lost her son because the midwives refused to give him formula because she couldn't breastfeed. She just didn't know it. So, you know, unfortunately had to give him whatever the hospital gave him the time. But, you know, we stand for all those mums out there that, you know, either can't or choose not to breastfeed, and we respect everything in between. But no, it's been one of those lively discussions since we launched our Best Feeding Week back at the Breastfeeding Week a couple of months ago. So, up until now, we agree. You know, I actually rang my midwife and said, I totally understand why you could never support, you know, formula feeding. Now we hope that there's a significantly better option. And also while we're doing this, I sincerely hope that we can bring our competitors along with us. You know, the day I see, you know, now I walk on, I see, you know, several brands calling out that they're palm oil free, whilst they're not entirely 100% palm oil free, at least they're pulling it out of their oil blends, you know, and that's them. In my mind, a step in the right direction.
Mm. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be an overnight change, but wonderful to see that already. And, you know, we can thank you for that again. So that's amazing. You must be so happy. Like, it must be so rewarding. It's phenomenal.
It makes the late nights, well, you would know, having your own business makes all the late nights and the stress worth it.
I read a quote yesterday that was like, I didn't want to work 9 to 7. No, I didn't want to work 9 till 5. So I work for myself. Now I work 24/7. I just laughed so hard. I was like, oh, that's so us. We don't want to work 9 to 5, but we just never stop.
I know. And, you know, we have such a, it's funny because we're such a passionate team here at Little Oak. They're all mums and dads or ex-mum, you know, Little Oak mums and dads, and everybody's just committed to the cause. And I'm sure they sort of left their job thinking that they were going to go into a, you know, a really great company and, you know, get flexibility, which they do, of course. But yeah, God, we work the hours, but I tell them every day, isn't it worth it? You know, that you've changed so many lives that it really is quite satisfying. So I can't really, the 7 till 12 o'clock at night doesn't quite feel so arduous.
No. There's got to be a higher purpose, right?
completely. But Steph, tell me this, what is your parting or final words to mums and dads about, you know, what their kids or what their babies are fed and what their children eat? What's your one piece of advice you'd like to give to mums and dads?
Yeah, I think the lowest degree of human interference is going to provide you with the highest degree of nutrients. So that's essentially Little Oak, right? You're trying to interfere with things as little as possible, keep it in its whole food state. And there's a big reason why. Like, that's where we get nutrients, and that's what we need to optimize our health, for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on to This Little Life today, Steph, and helping inform parents why ingredients really do matter. And we hope we were able to shed some light on the real difference between oils in formula, the good, the bad, and certainly the ugly. So for more information on Steph, please visit her website, The Natural Nutritionist. And as always, please feel free to come and say hi to us at Little Oak on our website, thelittleoakcompany.com. So thanks for tuning in and hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget, there's plenty more available in the back catalogue, which is available on our Little Oak website, www.thelittleoakcompany.com, or on your favourite podcast app. So we look forward to your company next time here on This Little Life.